read to you now the psalm that we've just sung, Psalm 84. The chief musician on an instrument of Gath, a psalm of the sons of Korah. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah. O God, behold our shield, and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our God and our Father, as we meditate upon your word today in the glory of worship, may you cause our hearts to long to be in your presence with your people. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. There are very few things that can be said positively about the COVID lockdowns that we all faced. Our authorities, whether from well-meaning but misguided or from wicked motives, shuttered businesses, discouraged hospitality, inflamed skepticism of the medical community, and ordered or at least pressured churches to cease worship services rather than asking us to multiply them that we might seek God's merciful intervention. I think that all of us remember those days with a mixture of discouragement, regret, frustration, and anger. But though there is very little positive that can be said about the lockdowns, there is one thing that I would mention. Repeatedly, I have heard many of you say, as well as fellow pastors and believers in other congregations say, I never knew how much I was taking worship for granted. When we gathered again for worship and I could see my brothers and sisters and sing with them again, I had tears in my eyes. Oh, how I longed for worship when it was suddenly taken away. It's that sentiment that Psalm 84 captures and commends. In the Old Covenant, Psalm 84 sings of the glories of the tabernacle in Jerusalem and the psalmist's longing to gather for worship with God's people. In the New Covenant, we no longer have a central sanctuary. We need no longer travel to the earthly Jerusalem. But we are summoned in Jesus' name to gather in the heavenly Jerusalem week by week to meet with God and to worship him with his people. Psalm 84 teaches us to delight in that summons and to be eager to fulfill it. It affirms our longing for corporate worship and pronounces a triple blessing on those who devote themselves to corporate worship in the fear of God. And so let's meditate on our psalm today. Psalm 84 was composed by the sons of Korah. These were most likely descendants of the famous Korah, who along with Dathan and Abiram were swallowed alive for his rebellion against Moses in Numbers chapter 16, verse 32. Though some of Korah's children perished with him, not all did. Numbers chapter 26, verse 11. Some of his children shunned his example and lived to become gifted musicians among the Levites. They composed Psalms 42 through 49, as well as Psalms 84 and 85 that we'll study next week. as well as Psalms 87 and 88 that will round out our octet of Psalms this year. So we get to study four Psalms of the Sons of Korah this year. Following the Selah indicators in Psalm 84, I've divided Psalm 84 into three sections centered around the three blessings or beatitudes of Psalm 84 that complement the beatitudes of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Selah indicators don't always provide an opportunity to outline, but in Psalm 84 they do. So we notice in verses 1 through 4, the blessing on those who dwell in God's house, and the blessing pronounced in verse 4, blessed are those who dwell in your house, they will still be praising you. In verses 5 through 8, blessed is the man who travels to Zion for worship, the blessing is in verse 5, blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. And then finally, in verses 9 through 12, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord while worshiping the Lord, the blessing is in verse 12, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. So let us look at each of these sections. First, notice that the sons of Korah pronounce those blessed who dwell in God's house and don't find it necessary to travel there from far away. Look in your Bibles at verses 1 through 4. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of Yahweh. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow has a nest for herself where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. Selah. Notice that the sons of Korah expressed the longing that many of us felt during the COVID lockdowns and that many of our brothers and sisters experienced throughout the world who are unable to gather regularly with the people of God. The infirm, those in the military or suffering persecution or who are in remote parts of the world. Right, the true child of God longs to enter the presence of God, and he does this when he gathers with God's people for worship. The true child of God longs to enter the presence of God, and he does this when he gathers with God's people for worship. In the Old Covenant, this took place at the temple, the place on earth where heaven and earth met. And the psalmist longs for the tabernacle as a means to an end. Notice how lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts, right? It was a beautiful place, a beautiful dwelling, okay? But notice that it was a means to an end. He didn't come to the tabernacle just to gaze on the tabernacle's loveliness. For my soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. He wanted to appear in the temple in order to meet God there. The temple courtyard was home, he says, to sparrows and swallows who had nested there, and their presence in the courtyard, not unlike the presence of birds and pigeons on light poles and things like that, right? Their presence in the courtyard makes the psalmist envious, right? As he gazes on these sparrows and swallows in the temple courtyard, how he wishes that he could dwell like them always in the house of the Lord, a reality that we will know only in the restoration of all things when Christ returns in glory. Nevertheless, God graciously gives us tastes of that restoration even now. In the Old Covenant, those tastes were connected with the tabernacle and meeting with God, with his people. In the New, they are connected with the corporate worship of our Messiah, Jesus. Getting to the tabernacle in the Old Covenant and to the church in the New Covenant entails challenges. Our fathers had to leave their homes and walk many miles to Jerusalem three times a year. The journey was often difficult. Nevertheless, those who traveled in faith, walking in the strength that God supplied, would be truly blessed. And so this is the second blessing, right? So a blessing on those who dwell always in the courts of the Lord. And then notice in your Bibles, verses 5-8, blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Yahweh, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah. Notice that the truly blessed man is the one whose heart is set on pilgrimage, the one who is determined to worship with God's people at the tabernacle. Though the journey to Jerusalem was attended by challenges signified by the valley of Baca, of weeping or of tears, by God's strength, they made that valley into a spring, a place of blessing. They moved forward in the strength that God supplied, that they might appear, each one of them, notice verse 7, before God in Zion. Not one of them wanted to be missing. And there in Zion, they lift up their prayers to the Lord of hosts, verse 8. Right? The Lord of armies. This is a repeated title by which God is called in this psalm. The Lord of hosts. Notice verse 3. He's the Lord of hosts. In verse 8, he's the Lord of hosts. And then again in verse 12, he is the Lord of hosts. He's the Lord of armies. In other words, he's the one who controls all of the armies of heaven and of earth. He is Almighty God. But not only, right, do the sons of Korah want their prayers to be heard by Almighty God, they also ask, give ear, O God of Jacob. That is the God who has covenanted with our fathers. Our merciful Redeemer. Right? They gathered in worship at the tabernacle to meet our ruler, their ruler and Redeemer. But notice that this meeting with God is not automatic. Just because you come to the temple doesn't mean that you're meeting with God. It comes only to those who in faith trust in God's Messiah and look to God to bless them. Notice verses 9 through 12. Verses 9 through 12. O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your Christ, your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God, Yahweh God, is a sun and shield. Yahweh will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Yahweh of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Right, when the psalmist appears before God in Zion, he pleads with God to look upon the face of the Messiah. Notice verse 9. O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed, your Messiah, your Christ. The Messiah, it says, is our shield. He's the one who defends us from our foes. In the Old Covenant, this was likely a prayer for God to favor the king. In the New Covenant, it is a prayer for God to receive us through his Messiah, Jesus, and to advance Christ's kingdom in the world. Jesus is our shield. He is our protector, right? Hence, a day in his presence, being strengthened by him, is far better than a thousand elsewhere. Verse 10, better to be the most menial servant in God's house than a sultan living in wickedness, right? Dwelling in tents of wickedness. Verse 10b. Well, why? Why better to spend a day in God's presence with God's people than to dwell in tents of wickedness? Because to enter God's presence in faith is to encounter Yahweh God, verse 11, who is a sun, that is, who is the source of life and light, and a shield. He is our defender, just like our Messiah, right? The Messiah images God himself, right? Hence, when we enter his presence, when we enter the presence of our sun and our shield, we enter his presence expecting him to pour out grace, that is the ability to walk in his ways, that he does in fact defend us as our shield. We expect him to pour out grace and glory. Notice our text, verse 11, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory, strength, fortitude, confidence, the opposite of shame. He makes us resplendent and glorious people. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk in his ways. Notice verse 11c. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. And so the blessed man is the one who comes to worship, trusting in the Lord of hosts to protect and to bless him. Verse 12. All right, this is our psalm. As we approach Psalm 84, we find that it articulates the psalmist's passion to appear before God and to meet with God in worship. He longs, faints, cries out to meet with the living God. So consider three diagnostic questions to help us apply Psalm 84, to help you apply Psalm 84. First, do you long to worship God with his people? Do you long to worship God with his people? Right, the sons of Korah who composed this psalm, whose distant ancestor had been swallowed alive by God, longed to visit the tabernacle because they longed to meet with the living God. In the Old Covenant, as I said, the tabernacle or temple was God's house. It was his dwelling place. It was the place where heaven and earth met. As worshipers entered into the temple and tabernacle, they were ascending into God's presence. Of course, that access into God's presence was limited by the Old Covenant sacrificial system. But to visit the tabernacle was to visit God himself. So where does God tabernacle in the new covenant? Where does God tabernacle in the new covenant? He tabernacles in his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle John reminds us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh, verse 14, and tabernacled among us. Right, as we celebrate at Christmas, Jesus is Emmanuel. He is God with us. And so the Magi worshiped God, entered into the presence of God by entering into Jesus' presence, bowing before him and worshiping him with their gifts. And we do the same. We no longer need to travel to Jerusalem to worship. We don't have to wait for one of the three annual feasts. Weekly, we gather to worship God in the name of his anointed. We ascend into the very presence of God to be strengthened, fed, and encouraged by him in company with his people. As Paul writes in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25, a passage that I've given you in your handout and that we considered earlier this past summer. Therefore, brethren, Paul writes, having boldness to enter the holiest, that is the tabernacle, the very place that Psalm 84 was longing to enter. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest, how do we enter there? By the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us, no longer with the sacrificial system of the Old Testament, but through his veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, namely the tabernacle. Let us, Paul says, draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, right? Forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ, and our bodies washed with pure water, having been baptized into his name. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for you promised is faithful, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not for forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Right? We enter the holiest. We draw near the presence of God when by faith in Jesus Christ, as God's baptized people, we assemble ourselves together for worship. When we gather to worship God in the name of his Son and by the power of his Spirit, we ascend Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem, and are given a taste of heaven on earth. Thus, Paul reminded his hearers, right, remember that the books of the New Testament were written to be read in worship. And Hebrews is one of those books that was written to be read in worship. And so as the people of God were listening to Hebrews chapter 12 being read in their service of worship, this is what they would have heard. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. This is where you are. To God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Right? When we assemble in Jesus' name, we enter the very presence of God. So do you long to worship God with his people? Do you hunger to be here? Does your flesh and your spirit cry out for the living God? Last week, we had the privilege of visiting Ken and Gail Harris and presenting Ken with a certificate of appreciation for his labor as an elder among us. When we arrived, they expressed deep appreciation for the folks doing for you all and for your generosity. There is a letter out in the foyer from them as well, if you want to read that from them. But they also expressed great appreciation for the folks doing the live stream and how much the live stream has improved and what a blessing that it's been for them. They'd been able to hear Bob's comments before the service, so thankfully Bob didn't say anything too scandalous. And listen to the sermon and hear the singing, and it's an incredible blessing, been an incredible blessing to them as they've been unable to come because of their health. But Gail said, we're thankful, but it's not like being at church. Psalm 84 is one of the psalms of their hearts now. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My flesh, my heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Right when Kevin and I visited Ken and Gail yesterday at the hospital with their extended family is there. That was Gail's sadness. They were all planning to come today. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. Right, so, you know, a word to you, and particularly if you're on the live stream up there or there, whichever one it is, whichever camera. Our live stream is a service for folks like Ken and Gail who are sick or traveling and unable to gather with the people of God for a time. But let me tell you what it's not. It is not a substitute with assembling for the with the people of God for worship. Right? Remember that Christmas is a celebration of what? It's a celebration of the incarnation, that Jesus took on flesh and dwelt among us. Right? We are human beings. We are embodied creatures. We are meant to be in one another's presence. We are not meant to be distant from one another. So if you're regularly at home with the live stream and you are able to get to church, then shut off the TV, get in your car, and cease forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. So second, do you joyfully overcome the obstacles to get to worship? Do you joyfully overcome the obstacles to get to worship? Right, if you think you have a good reason to skip worship, imagine the excuses the Israelites could have given. A trip to Jerusalem could take weeks. And once there, it was crowded and smelly. Right? Hundreds of thousands of people in a city that was not meant to accommodate that many people. Yet three times a year, God summoned all the males in Israel to go. Psalm 84 reminded those who set their hearts on pilgrimage that they were blessed of the Lord for doing so. So is your heart set on pilgrimage? Do you joyfully overcome whatever challenges Satan puts in your way to keep you from worship? Do you joyfully overcome whatever challenges Satan puts in your way to keep you from worship? Because make no mistake, they are obstacles put in your way by Satan. He would like nothing more than to keep you from worship. He walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, 1 Peter 5, verse 8. He wants to use weariness, discouragement, sickness, car trouble, bitterness, traffic patterns, construction zones, disobedience, bad sleep, laziness, peer pressure, indifference, hobbies, whatever it is, he wants to use those to keep you at home rather than in church. So do you joyfully overcome these obstacles to get you and your family to worship? Now you're here today, right? But it is Christmas time, so maybe you're just here because it's Christmas, okay? Now, of course, there are exceptions to this rule, right? If you are vomiting, please don't come to church, okay? But are you determined to overcome the routine challenges that come your way and to make it to worship? As you pass through the Valley of Baca, discouragement, weariness, weeping, do you make it a spring? Dads, you are called to lead the way in these areas. Right? If Sunday mornings are challenging, if it's a challenge to get to worship, or you're strung out when you get here, then the first thing you should do is pray that God would pour out his strength upon you and upon your family. Right, notice our psalm that for each one to appear before God in Zion, verse 7, you must go from strength to strength. In other words, verse 5, blessed is the man whose strength is in you, is in God. We must work out our salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God who is at work in us to will and to do according to his good pleasure, Philippians 2, 12 and 13. Pray that he would be at work in you so that you can work things out in his strength. Right? Those who set their hearts on pilgrimage will prepare ahead of time. Set out clothes, Bibles, snacks, diapers, etc. Right? I know many of you are dealing with children. Right? Set them out the night before. Get a good night's sleep as you're able. Right? Again, with children, sometimes that's challenging. Wake up in the morning with an attitude of joy and delight. Pray that God would help you to maintain it. Sing out the door. Sing in the car. Lift up prayers on your way to worship. Dads, don't dishearten the pilgrims in your house with your frustration, anger, or laziness. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength and set your heart on pilgrimage. Finally, do you trust the Lord to bless you through Jesus Christ as you worship? Do you trust the Lord to bless you through Jesus Christ as you worship? Why does Satan want to keep you from worship? Because this is where God promises to bless and strengthen and equip you. Right, a lot of people come to worship not quite knowing what to expect. Yes, I know that I should go to church. God commands me to do so, but I don't know quite why. Well, the sons of Korah tell you why. Listen again to verses 9 through 12. O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your Christ. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Why? Listen to verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord God of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. We saw that this passage urges us to gather in God's presence and worship him in the name of his anointed King, Jesus. Spending this day in the Lord's presence is better than 1,000 elsewhere. Alan Ross writes in his excellent commentary, he says, what happens day in and day out cannot begin to compare with one day in the presence of God, because in his presence, the pilgrim finds grace and glory, which sustains him on all the other days. Because in his presence, the pilgrim finds grace and glory, which sustains him on all the other days. In worship, God promises to bless us with grace and glory to sustain us all week. Thus, better to do menial tasks and be admitted to the Lord's house, right? Better to help with setup and cleanup, to help with recording, to greet people in the morning, to do snow removal, etc., than to be a sultan elsewhere, or to remain at home in one's pajamas, or to go out hiking in the woods. Right? Why? Why better one day in God's house than to dwell in tents of wickedness? Because the Lord God is a sun and a shield. And when we worship, we meet with him, and he pours out grace and glory on us. As we gather in his presence, he gives us life and protection, shielding us from the onslaughts of the devil and enlivening us to advance the cause of Christ in the world. Thus, Satan would like nothing better than to keep us from worship, to keep our tanks empty, our hearts vulnerable to temptation, and our strength depleted. So, do you trust the Lord to bless you through Jesus Christ as you worship? Do you look to him to give grace and glory? He is a sun and a shield. So come to worship expectant. Come to worship ready to receive, to taste and see that the Lord is good. And the assurance that he is set before us here on the table. So let us come and let us feast on our Christ, the Christ whom the Magi adored. Let us cry with the sons of Korah, O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your Christ. Amen. Amen. Our God and our Father, we thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your kindness to us. We thank you that you have invited us here into your presence to hear from you and now to feast with you at your table. As we come before your table, strengthen us and empower us that we might go from here to spread the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.